Dr. Michael Roizen.
Dr. Michael Roizen.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Podcast on Radio MD or iHeart. Thanks for downloading us. Do tell your friends about us. Do rate us. The guest for today, this is 887B, the guest segment. And thanks for downloading us. Aileen Nitzky, N-I-T-Z-K-Y, who's a PhD and RN, is talking about navigating the sea. A nurse charts the course for cancer survivorship care. That cancer survivorship care means there's care after you survive, and that's what she's going to talk about. The website is cancerharbors.com. Aileen, I hope I've pronounced that correctly. We're always concerned about surviving cancer, and you're talking about not only getting through the treatment, but thriving through the treatment. Is that right?
That's correct, yeah. There is a lot more to cancer than just the treatment part. And the most important part comes after treatment.
Obviously, all of us want to survive, so we consider that an important part, too. One of the things that you cite in the book is how important physical activity is after the treatment, how important mental stability and activity and reducing stress or meditation would be, and how important some of the food choices would be, all stressed in this book, Navigating the Sea. A nurse charts the course for cancer survivorship care. So tell us why these other things are important, or why you think they're as or more important than actually the treatment itself.
Well, don't get me wrong. We do need the treatment because we've got to get the cancer under control or in remission. But both during and after treatment, we need to be taking as good care of ourselves as possible. And that's something that I think a lot of people don't think about, because a lot of times when we hear the word cancer, we have a very reactive and fear-based response. And what I'm saying in the book is, the public doesn't have a very good level of what I call cancer literacy, kind of this fear around cancer, because they hear these old notions of, what's cancer about? It's, you get very sick, you have these horrible chemotherapy and radiation treatments and surgeries, and people die. And it's like the public perception of cancer has not caught up with where we are today with all of our advances. And we are able to control side effects of treatment and symptoms and have a very high survival rate. But the thing is that we need to work on helping people with quality of life, both during the treatment and afterward. And that's where all of those other parts come in. We need to be paying attention to those at the same time as we're concerned with getting through our treatment.
Now, why do they need, and I'm impressed that most patients don't pay a lot of attention to post-treatment care. Do we have any data on how well patients do for them, do either participate in it or do take care of themselves afterwards?
We don't have a lot of data on that. What we've been doing is applying these survivorship care plans. Those are kind of like the medical response to the need for something after treatment. And we don't have a lot of data on how effective those survivorship care plans are in improving outcomes, improving quality of life, reducing costs. So we don't know a lot, but we're still using those. And what I say in the book is that the survivorship care plans are really something that's been developed for medical convenience. And we need to be looking at people's everyday lives and the quality of their lives and what they need in order to improve that. And that's where my work comes in, because I want to help people gain the skills and the practices practices into their lifestyles that they did not, they may not have had before cancer. And I know that people are not going to make changes unless they have some kind of guidance and help with making those changes if they need to.
Now, a lot of people think, is this doing physical activity? Is it doing just avoiding tobacco? Is it food choices? What is it? I know you go through all of those and more. So in the book, so just talk to us again. We're talking to Arlene, or Aileen, A-L-E-N-E, Nitzky, N-I-T-Z-K-Y. Dr. Nitzky is written the book, Navigating the Sea, A Nurse Charts the Course for Cancer Survivorship Care. So go ahead and talk to us a little bit about what are the components of survivorship care.
Okay, well, the components of survivorship care are, first of all, you know, we talked about physical activity and nutrition and weight control. Those are some important things, but there's a lot more to it. There are emotional and relationship impacts. There's sexuality and occupational and financial events that happen to people as a result of going through cancer treatment. People also have to be able to advocate for themselves in their follow-up medical care after treatment. And these are all things that people don't often think about when they're thinking about cancer, but they're very important. So it's really a holistic look at, you know, what happens in people's lives when they go through cancer treatment and then come through it. We have to be thinking about all of the ways they're impacted and how to improve on what happens afterwards.
And you talk about friendship and not saying no to help. Give us a little discussion on that.
Yeah. Well, what happens is a lot of us feel that, you know, asking for help is somehow, showing our vulnerability, and we don't want to be seen as vulnerable. People are afraid to, be asking for a handout. It's that kind of pull yourself up by your bootstraps mentality. But nobody can go through this alone. This is too difficult and complex of an experience to go through and expect to just do it alone. And one of the things I talk about in my book is a program to prepare people for cancer diagnosis, where you have to, what I call it, prepare, prevent, and prehab. And what I want people to do is to be ready for something like this. The National Cancer Institute in 2017 said that about 38% of us are going to have a cancer diagnosis at some point in our life. And I see people just treating cancer as if, oh, that's something that happens to someone else. Well, I don't think we should be doing that. I think we should be expecting this to happen and then having a plan for it in case it does. And one of the things we can do is set up a support system ahead of time. Look around you and see who are your resources, who are the people who could do the heavy lifting for you, both literally and figuratively, if you were incapacitated for a while from cancer. For example, the average person goes through 100 or more doctor appointments in the course of cancer treatment. And to expect one person, like a spouse, to be the sole support person throughout that whole time is really unrealistic. I mean, people can't do that, and still, maintaining their own health and their own lives. So you have to have a group. You need to be able to reach out to several different people who can help share the burden and distribute the work. So it's very important to not think that, oh, this is something I can tough out by myself. You really need the help, and it's going to actually make your outcome much better because you'll experience less stress while you're going through treatment and then recovering afterwards, when you have the help, it's less stressful and it's going to be easier for you to recover.
And I think the other point you make here that I want to really accentuate that you've just said, but I want people not to miss it, is group. So it isn't one other person. It's not like you're dependent just on your spouse, but be willing to accept and ask for help from more than just one person, because otherwise it's really a huge burden on that one person, and you will, in fact, see that. And so I think it's an outstanding point you make in that this is a group effort, not a one-person effort to be the advocate, to keep the in track, to help with food, et cetera.
Yeah. Can I add one more thing to that? We also need to remember that, you know, we are surrounded by a larger community than just the healthcare system. I mean, I don't want to minimize the importance of medical treatment, because I think it's very important. It's a very important part of the cancer treatment. But we also need to be able to reach out into our community for the resources and the service providers and the other people who are out there who can help us both during treatment and after treatment. One of the things that I do here in Fort Collins, Colorado, where I live, I have a support group called Fierce. And it is a hybrid exercise class and support group. So we don't sit around and talk about cancer. We get out and move. We do exercises. We get out for walks. We experience different types of movement modalities like Tai Chi, yoga. We do biofeedback. We've had all these different speakers come in. So people are learning what is out there in their communities. And you know, everyone will respond differently to something. You know, some people will like one thing and not another. But I'm helping them get exposed to these different services and modalities that are out there, because the healthcare system itself, while it does a good job of medically treating the cancer, there are so many more things outside in the community, outside of the healthcare system, that people need to be aware of. And also, healthcare providers also need to be aware of those things.
Someone has just asked me a question, and that is, how long is survivorship care after treatment? In other words, if you've survived, can you say, I'm doing fine, I don't need help anymore? Or is this for the rest of your life, and is it just really part of living that you're talking about?
Well, when, you know, everybody's different. Everybody's cancer is different. Everybody's experience is different. So, and every individual has their own style of coping and their own coping resources. So, you know, you might have one person who goes through, just say treatment for, stage 2 breast cancer. And, you know, they get through treatment, they get through their chemo and radiation, and, you know, they experience some fatigue, but they don't have any other, lasting effects that they notice, and they move on. And, you know, it's in the back of their mind, it could recur, but it's not, they're not obsessing about it. They're not extremely anxious about it. You can take another person with, you know, a stage 2 breast cancer diagnosis who goes through treatment and has, you know, afterward has lymphedema, has extreme fatigue, has a lot of anxiety, may lose their job, you know, or any combination of these factors. So, it may take them longer to recover. It may take, for the rest of their life, they might be worried about recurrence. There are so many individual factors that I can't really say, you know, that the survivorship thing is any particular length of time. But once a person has been through cancer, we generally think that, you know, they are a survivor, and they will have that in either in the back of their mind or on their medical record for the rest of their life. And so it is a factor that needs to be considered. I hope that answers the question.
we've been talking. It did. Thank you. And there are a lot more answers. You can go to cancerharbors.com or pick up, I'm going to mispronounce her name, Aileen Nitzky, N-I-T-Z-K-Y, Navigating the Sea. A nurse charts the course for cancer survivorship care. Blue Bayou Press is the publishing, but the Cancer Harbors, H-A-R-B-O-R-S, there's an S on the end of it, cancerharbors.com is the website where they talk about the perils and pitfalls as well as the joys of oncology healthcare system and how you can navigate cancer and do well with survivorship. Thanks very much. This is podcast 887B. Feel free to send us emails about questions you'd like for future guests or future guest topics or anything else in medicine you want to ask us or tell us at ageprooflife@gmail.com. We're fortunate to have Ben as our great engineer and you to download us. Please do keep downloading us. Tell your friends. We're a little over 50,000 downloads a week. You get the A segment, which is the news of the week and what it means to you to change behavior. The B segment is, of course, these wonderful guests like Dr. Nitzky, who is navigating the sea. Thanks very much, and thank you for downloading us.